Well, grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Welcome to Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church. We're delighted that you're here with us to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. As always, I have several announcements to make before we start worship. We're still in need of some ushers this June through September. To volunteer, please see Denise Veed in the back or on the way out sometime today, or call her at your leisure. We have a called session meeting this afternoon, just one item of business, a minor one, not this afternoon, immediately following worship. Sorry for the confusion. So if you're on the session, please stick around afterwards. It shouldn't take very long. Everyone is invited to join us here for the community meal on Thursday, June 9th. This month is hamburger steak, gravy, rice, mixed veggies, and dessert. Please invite your friends and your neighbors. It's always such a good time. Cook's Men, this is the big one, are sponsoring their 2022 unique antique auto show. The cars are really unique, though, you know. Next June 11th, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the parking lot of the front of the church fellowship hall. What we need is we continue to need volunteers, and the Presbyterian women are calling for your baked goods. Please see Connie Lucky or Petey Self for details on that. Register today to make sure your children attend Vacation Bible School, God's Wonder Lab, June 26th through 29th. And you can sign up online, or there's registrations in the back as well. Cook's Church will hold a mission trip to Kajaido Children's Home Tuesday through Thursday, September 15th through the 27th. Contact Gaylist for more about this amazing experience. The beautiful flowers in our sanctuary this Sunday are in loving memory of Tommy Young, given by Ed and Janice Young, Denise and Mike Veed, Betsy and Paul Boone, his grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Those are the announcements that I have this morning. Are there any other announcements that need to come before the congregation at this time?
Yes.
Yep.
I will be outside with a sign-up sheet for anyone that wants to sign up for certain times to work the bake sale next Saturday. It's just like a two hours at a time. We would appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Those being the announcements, let us now open our minds to the worship of God.
Come, Holy Spirit, ignite our hearts with joy and confidence.
For God has done wondrous things for us.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill us with the power of the rushing wind that we may faithfully serve you in all that we do. Come, Holy Spirit, be with us today.
Help us to boldly proclaim Christ is risen.
Amen. Let us pray. O Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, on this Pentecost Sunday, we ask that you breathe your Spirit on us once again. Make our consciousness tender to your touch. We hunger, O Lord, for the life-changing power that your Holy Spirit brings. May our lives exemplify the fruit of your Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. May we each use the gifts of the Spirit that you have distributed to bless this church and to build your kingdom on earth. In the name of Jesus Christ, we make these prayers. Amen. I invite those of you who are able to rise and join me in the singing of our first hymn, number 66. 1 John teaches us that if we say that we have no sin, that we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But that if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from any and all unrighteousness. So friends, we come now to this time of duty in which we confess our sins corporately and our personal shortcomings silently, with the expectation of, just like the prodigal son, not being greeted with God's scorn, but instead embraced by God's love and his everlasting forgiveness. So join me as we boldly confess our sin. Lord, forgive us when we see your miracles all around us and still doubt your power, presence, and love. Forgive us when we treat this world and each other with careless indifference or with malice. You who have created the most wondrous things from the smallest of particles can create in our hearts confidence and hope. From our lives, you can fashion the most delightful miracles that can serve you through acts of mercy and kindness. Free us, Lord, to receive your blessings, and having received them, to find the numerous ways in which we can serve you. Heal our wounded hearts. Hear our cries. Come to us and bring us home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. By the waters of our baptism, we can be certain of one thing, that God has called our names before the foundations of earth, and that water has washed us and prepared us to be with Jesus forever. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven forever and ever. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Join me now as we confess what we believe as Christians using the ancient words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead and descended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated and join me in our contemplative hymn number 286. At this point, we'd like to invite the kids to come forward and have a seat on the carpet as Miss Emily has a time that's just for them.
Good morning. How are you all doing? Good. Has everybody started with the summer? Is summer schools out for everybody? Or everybody have a few days to go? No?
I was out a week before everyone else.
Wow. That's pretty nice. That's pretty nice. Well, when you all think of where God lives, and let me preface by saying I think God always lives in our hearts and here at church, and he goes everywhere with us. But when you think of maybe like a place where he lives, where do you think that he lives?
Heaven.
Heaven? Yeah. That's very similar to what I think as well. But as I was doing some reading this week, I was reminded of something. And God does, you know, he is going to be in heaven when we get there. But he's also a foundation, right? So if we don't think about God as the foundation of everything, then, you know, it can sometimes be a little bit difficult. So does everybody know what this game is?
Yes.
It's Jenga, right? So if I take a few of these pieces down here at the bottom and pull them out. See, if I pull a few of these pieces out at the bottom, it still stays up, right? Why does it stay up?
Because that one piece.
Because the foundation, right? Yeah. So sometimes maybe we move and we lose a friend because our best friend was, you know, in the old place that we lived. So maybe that's a part, if we think about the Jenga pieces as being parts of our lives. So that friend, we lost them because they moved or we moved. Maybe we are going to go to a new school You know, you go from elementary school maybe to middle school, and so that changes. So things might be a little bit shaky, or you're a little bit worried about going to a new school. So that's another piece. But there can be all different kinds of parts and pieces of our lives that change over time, right? And so they come out and they go back on the top, because it doesn't mean that those things go away. But what's always the same about this game? The base is always the same, right? The base is always there. So if we think about God, even though he lives in heaven, but if we think about him as the base of everything, and we know that things are going to change and be put on the top, or maybe not always be the same, but we know that God is always going to be the same, that's a very comforting thing to know, right? Right? Okay. Well, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for today. And thank you for being the foundation and for all the things that you bless us with. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay. Thank you, guys.
I invite you today to sing our special with us. So if you would reach for the red hymnal, we invite you to sing along with us. Choir, if you would stand. We will sing the first verse of 408, and then we will go to Spirit of the Living God, which is 288. So would you join us?
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know that it's the presence of the Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Heavenly Dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place.
Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me.
Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me.
We come now into a time of reading and proclaiming of the Word, and we do so beginning with the prayer for illumination. Join me. Come, Holy Spirit, giver of life, breathe into us that we might hear a word of truth this day. Draw us into deep communion with you, enabling us to love, conspiring to make us one with you for the world that you so deeply loved. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And I'm going to be reading the Old Testament, Genesis 1 through 9. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky, and there was evening, and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so.
Well, I'm going to begin us with a little revelation. It's not the kind of revelation that's really going to thrill us, but it is going to be something I don't think I've ever told anybody. But don't worry, it's not that terribly embarrassing. Well, I didn't go to my junior prom. And I didn't go to my junior prom. I think I told my friends that I just couldn't find anybody that I wanted to go with, right? That's what I told my friends. But the actuality, there was another reason. You see, I had chosen who I wanted to go to the prom with and had in my wonderful procrastinating self left it till about 2 weeks before the actual event. And that's when I called my good friend Kim Settlemeyer, who I figured was a sure thing to want to go with me to the prom. And I called Kim up and dispensed with the formalities and just said, "Would you go to prom with me?" And I got to tell you, I was fully expecting to hear the words that, "Yes, of course I'll go to the prom with you." Unfortunately, what I didn't know was that Kim had already been asked by one of my friends and already had a date and couldn't go with me. I took that rejection so hard, I didn't ask anybody else out. I was too hurt from the not getting the yes that I so expected that I just didn't ask anybody else out. I remember that story simply because I was with a group of kids one time, and we were fortunate enough to be breaking bread for the communion. That wasn't here, so this today is not the communion bread, but it was at another church. And as we finished up, there was flour and children everywhere, much to the chagrin of the janitor, no doubt. But thankfully, the bread came out in a great fashion. And I cut those loaves, and I cut two slices and wrapped them with plastic and gave two to each child. And I said to the kids, "All right, one of these I want you to take home and eat, just so you know what the communion bread's going to taste like and that you worked on it and it tasted really good." Then I gave them some instructions that I'd kind of altered from what I had imagined at the beginning. But I looked at them and I said, "Now I want you to take the other piece of bread and give it to your parents, and as you're giving them, tell them that God's love is better even than this piece of bread. That it's going to taste so good, but God's love is better." I handed out all of the pieces of the bread, and it wasn't so long thereafter that one of the kids came up to me and asked the question, "Do I have to give it to my parent?" To which I thought, "Well, of course, no. Tell me why you want to not give it to your parent." Well, the answer was really telling. She said, "My parents already know God or Jesus or the Lord, but there are a lot of people out there that don't. And I want to give this piece of bread to somebody that doesn't." And as they said that, all of the kids in the room started thinking of uncles or other people that really would do better getting that piece of bread from them than their parents. I had chosen the parents because I had already factored in the pain of rejection. You see, I was going to give the kids the instruction to give that second piece of bread to anyone, but then I thought, remembering at least somewhat that experience with Kim Settlemyer in the 11th grade, I thought, I don't want them to feel that rejection, so just give it to their parents. But the kids knew what was right and knew how to do it. I mention that rejection and the kids to doing the bread and sharing it with others because today is Pentecost. And as we come into the standard lection, as we read the passage that the church has selected for this particular Sunday to be read, what I want us to realize is the immediacy with which the dynamic changed. And then you have a group of people that are all from diverse backgrounds that find themselves engaged in a process that is still ongoing, that's still happening to this very day. The evangelical acts that were given by those first disciples and apostles continue to this day, every day, in some ways big, in some ways small. So I ask you to join me as we read together the second chapter of Acts of the Apostles, and this morning I read verses 1 through 13. Hear now the word of our Lord. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and all the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And they were all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So we know in Acts of the Apostle, in the first chapter, Jesus ascends into heaven, and he tells the disciples to go to the upper room and to wait, for the Holy Spirit is coming. And so that's where we find our apostles and disciples. They're holed up in a room waiting with no doubt a measure of fear palpably among them. Why would there have been fear? Well, Jesus was now gone. The resurrected Lord had ascended into heaven, and thus he was no longer with them. No longer would they be able to point at Jesus and say, "Jesus is risen and here he is." No longer could they be certain that God's protective powers were with them. They were frightened. They were scared. They lived in a culture that had just killed their leader. it wasn't the first time. As I've shared with you before, there were, prior to Jesus, numbers of people who had said they were the Messiah, and the Romans had already come up with a way to deal with them. They crucified the leader, and they crucified all of the followers. So there in that room, surrounded with just only one another, I can imagine the sense of fear would have been palpable and real. And yet, that's when the Holy Spirit arrives. This third and sometimes missing member of our Trinity, the one that we in the Presbyterian Church sometimes run to avoid, the Holy Spirit arrives, bringing with him power and energy and a fulfillment of what God had promised through the prophet Joel. In Joel, the prophecy of Joel contains a part that Peter's going to quote in his sermon following. I'm not reading the entire sermon this morning, although it's worth your time and energy to do so. It's worth it because in the passage, Jesus is lifted very high. So Peter, as he begins this sermon, begins to a crowd of people who would have been hostile or at least skeptical of what was going on. Yet Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, went into that crowd and begins what is a number of sermons that take place in the Acts of the Apostles. They're all spectacular and amazing on their own account. Peter's is especially special because it's the first one. And his gospel message is very clear, that the stumbling block had arrived, that the very one to whom was promised, the suffering servant from Isaiah, the latter part of Isaiah, had come, and he had made atonement for the world through his death. His resurrection was the sign that God was in fact at work and had atoned, had allowed Jesus' death to atone for the sin of the world. And in that space, that Spirit-created space, Peter and the disciples simply come alive with the power and desire to share the gospel. The gospel, that good news that tells us that though we were once sinners, God has redeemed us through the power of Jesus' blood and has drawn us into full communion with him, something we'll celebrate as we come to the Lord's table in just a few minutes. But what the good news that Peter declares in that sermon is the good news that is the power of the gospel that still changes lives today. The gospel hasn't changed. The gospel simply begins with us, broken, miserable, sinful, out of touch with our friends, out of touch with God. And yet into that morass of sin and darkness, God shines his everlasting and resplendent light, drawing us by the power of the Holy Spirit into his arms. God is active. You know, we're just now studying the parable of the prodigal son in our summer parable class. And the thing that stood out to me this morning was the sincerity and the urgency with which the father approaches both of his sons in that parable. The father comes to us through the power of the Holy Spirit, alerting us and awakening us to the wretchedness of our state. And he does so not with an intent to make us feel awful or miserable or to ground us into whatever ill things we're doing, but instead to awaken us to who we truly are. And who we truly are is creatures created by the same God that spoke in Genesis 1. There was that level of intent and design in us all. And even though that's been warped or devalued through the power of sin, what we know is that by the power of the Holy Spirit that we're awakened yet again. That God has drawn near and joined us in a way that is right and holy and fitting. And that, my friends, is when we find ourselves with that new life that I've been talking about, that new birth that comes, that Christians yearn for. And once they've experienced it, changes everything. Everything is upside down compared to where it was. But in this wonderful word that we have from Acts, we know that the means by which that message is carried is through the testimony, witness, and evangelism of his followers. God's followers aren't supposed to be intimidated of anything, let alone a little rejection. God's followers are supposed to be the voice out in the world, just like they were there on Pentecost Sunday when the Holy Spirit came and allowed those men of Judea to speak in all those different and differing languages. There was in and through that power of God the ability to transcend even language differences. We have that ability today in ways that we may not even know. The question that becomes relevant is, how often are we sharing Jesus with the world? How frequently do we begin our day thinking of the people that we can share our Lord with? And chances are, guys, and I'll throw myself into this, that it's not as often as it could be. You know, it's one thing to get up here and to get to proclaim the gospel. It is the greatest joy of my life that I get to preach. But every Sunday, I get a big advantage. I'm not going into a crowd of people that are hostile or opposed to the good news. I'm, in fact, hopefully preaching to the choir, both literally and figuratively. I'm preaching to a group of people that's already inclined to realize the value that the gospel presents. But when we evangelize, when we allow ourselves to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to find ourselves using words that may not even be ours, but that are powerful nevertheless, then we are fully open to the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what God created us to do and be. We all have a variety of gifts, and right now evangelism or witnessing may not be on your top 10, and that's okay. There are some that are called to it more than others, but make no mistake about it, we're all called to it. We're all called to it because we've all been given that amazing new life, that power, that force that raises up and bubbles inside of us that says, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was a sinner, but now I'm saved. That's the power of the gospel in our lives. That's the power of God that's delivered to us through the Holy Spirit. One of the things that is often lacking in Presbyterian congregations, and this is my personal experience. So if you know of a Presbyterian congregation that's really fired up for evangelism, please tell me. Please tell me after the service, because I'd like to see what they're doing. But one of the complaints that I've seen and encountered in the Presbyterian Church is that they call us the frozen chosen. Has anybody ever heard that? Well, the frozen chosen is this idea that because we're predestined, or we listen to the Bible and believe that God has chosen some for salvation, that we don't need to do anything else with our time and effort. After all, if God has truly elected some, then God can work all that stuff out and we don't really need to. But what we overlook, what we miss so dearly, is that this is the work to which we were created for. This is where we find our wholeness. If you're feeling less than, if you're feeling that there's something missing in your life right now, that there's some hidden thirst that you can't quite quench, consider that it may be the call of the Lord inviting you into this same work that's been going on since Peter was touched by the Holy Spirit and went out into a crowd that had killed his leader and declared that his leader was in fact the Messiah. He wasn't frightened of anything, let alone a little rejection. In fact, we hear some, don't we? There's voices in the crowd that says, oh, Peter, those folks are just filled with new wine. It's a way of saying that they're just drunk. But that energy, that infectious enthusiasm, that willingness to be led by the Holy Spirit and to not be fearful, frightened, afraid, terrified, or find the words stuck in the throat, is to know that the Holy Spirit is stirring. When we utter a word of Christ, Romans tells us, every time we cry out, Abba, Father, we do so through the power of the Holy Spirit. So as we're out sharing the good news, witnessing to the power of God, that what we're doing is being joined by the Holy Spirit. That confirms what it says in John, where the Spirit declares that the Spirit will testify, Jesus declares rather, that the Spirit will testify alongside of us. You see, we think we've got to compose these amazing symphonies of evangelism when really all we need to do is go and play the most simple notes that we can. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Come see what I mean. Come and see Jesus. You know, I want to close with a story that I came across a couple of days ago as I prepared for this sermon. It goes something like this. A young mother decided that she wanted to encourage her son's piano playing lessons. So she got a couple of tickets to hear a great piano master play the piano. And as they got to the concert, the young mother saw a friend and wandered off to speak to her. And as she did, her young son took it to wander around. He found himself up against a door that said no admittance, and he went in anyway. The next thing you know, the curtains open, and there is a grand Steinway piano, and there's a little boy tottering toward it, not the master. Figuring that he could just do as he wished, the young man sat down at the piano and began playing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Dun, 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 dun. It was at that time that the great piano master came out and whispered into the young man's ear, "Don't quit playing." And then from that position, he began playing the bass notes to Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. The music got better. And then, as he was able to do that, he reached around the young man and began playing a contralto. It was a beautiful symphony that was created just because a young man had tottered and started playing a piano song that he knew. Friends, when we think about evangelism, we are that little kid. We're the one that stumbles into the area that perhaps we shouldn't even go to by the world's standards. And we step forward and we're bound to be timid and not quite know what we're doing. But if we'll just sit at that piano and begin playing the notes that we do know, I once was lost, but now am found. Come and see Jesus and what happened to me. As we play those notes, the power of the Holy Spirit will be with us, filling out the other parts, making the most beautiful, melodious, evangelistic song ever heard. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now to the Lord's table. The Lord's table was instituted by Jesus Christ, is His creation. We are simply invited to it. We're invited to it by the one who is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We come to it beginning with a word of prayer. Join me. O Heavenly Father, it is truly right and our greatest joy to give you our thanks and our praise. O Lord, our God, creator and ruler of the universe, in your wisdom you made all things and sustained them by your power. You formed us in your image, setting us in this world to love and to serve you and to live in peace with your whole creation. When we rebelled against you, refusing to trust and obey you, you did not reject us, but still claimed us as your own. You sent prophets to call us back to your way. Then, O Lord, in the fullness of time, out of your great love for the world, you sent your only Son to be one of us, to redeem us and to heal our brokenness. Therefore, we praise you, O Lord. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. In Jesus, born of Mary, your word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. He lived as one of us, knowing joy and sorrow. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, opened blind eyes, broke bread with outcasts and sinners, and proclaimed the good news of your kingdom to the poor and to the needy. Dying on the cross, he gave himself for the life of the world. Rising from the grave, he won for us victory over death. seated at your right hand, he leads us to eternal life. We praise you that Christ now reigns with you in glory and will come again to make all things new. Remembering your gracious act in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this cup and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgivings, we offer our very self to us. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and juice, and the bread that we break and the cup that we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Jesus, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in this world. In union with your church in heaven and on earth, we pray, O God, that you will fulfill your eternal purpose in us and in all the world. Keep us faithful in your service until Christ comes again in final victory, and we shall feast with you and all your saints in the joy of your eternal realm. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever, concluding now with the prayer Jesus taught us, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. On the night of his arrest, Jesus Christ took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke the bread, giving it to the disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. Every time you drink of this cup, do this in remembrance of me. Friends, every time we eat from this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the saving death of the Lord Jesus Christ until he comes again in glory. So I invite you now, come and taste and see that the Lord is good. This morning we'll celebrate communion by passing bread and juice. We ask that you hold each element until we're all distributed so that we can take communion together. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
To the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. For you see, it's the blood that gives me strength from day to day, and it will never lose its power. And it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Well, you see, it's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. Well, and it will never lose its power.
The cup of salvation. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you that you fed us in this communion meal, both spiritually and physically. And now, as we prepare to depart, we just ask that you use this service, use this communion to remind us of our call to share your love with the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Having heard the word read and proclaimed, and then having the word sealed for us in the sacrament of the Lord's table, we turn our attention now to the prayers of intercession and supplication. Join me as we pray. Wonderful Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we just rejoice that you've drawn us to this service and fed us with your communion. Gracious God, continue to be with us in all that we do and all that we say. Remind us of your holy task of sharing your word. Gracious God, this word goes into a world that's still broken by sin. And we realize that there are people that are struggling and suffering. Sometimes those people are even ourselves. And gracious God, we just think of all of the folks that are suffering or struggling, lonely, grieving, anxious, depressed, O Lord, physically ill. We bring them all before you, thinking especially this day of Dennis and Debbie Abernathy. We think of the family of Jerry Rhodes, as well as Richard, the family of Richard. We pray for Ronnie Peterson, Jill Griffin. We pray for Jack McClure. And we pray for everyone that is in need of intercessory prayer that's on our prayer list. We make these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. Amen. Friends, as we depart on this Pentecost Sunday with the Spirit hopefully within us now ever more firmly as we've taken in communion, my prayer is that we'll all in this week consider, whoa, hey, man, the Spirit is really stirring today. I apologize. I've forgotten a movement of the service that is important. We give our attention to our giving of the tithes and offerings. Thank you.
Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is peace. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is love. There is comfort in life's darkest hour. There is light and life. There is help and power in the Spirit, in the Spirit of the Lord. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
The love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Would you look at your program?